afternoons, it's time to go travelling.
Well, when we say it's time to go travelling, very few people have travelled like my next guest. We received a call, you might remember, we received a call last week from Rod. And now, that was off the back of our segment about the Pitcairn Islands. And Rod was telling us a story about his brother Darren, who'd been to Pitcairn. I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. But then the story got even more interesting, because Darren hasn't just been to Pitcairn. He's basically been everywhere. He's embarked on a quest to visit every country and territory in the world. That's quite an effort. His extensive list includes all 193 UN member countries, the two non-member states of Vatican City and the state of Palestine, as well as dependent territories, and the nine states whose sovereignty is disputed. Okay, so all in all, a rather comprehensive list of locations. Not only, though, is he visiting each and every location, but Darren also runs a website compiling travel guides and documenting his adventures as he goes, which I think, you know, really is a must. If you're going to do this, that sort of thing's a must. You've got to write about it and put it all down. Now, the website is called Taste 2 Travel, Taste and then the number 2, Travel. And it's got all sorts of information there about the places he's visited. It even has quizzes about the locations around the globe if you want to do your own sort of internal Carmen San Diego thing. Anyway, Darren McLean, the man who's talking and taking on the entire world, is on the line with me from, I think I'm right in saying, the Falkland Islands. Darren, good to talk.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm well.
And good morning from the Falklands. Yes, it's just after midnight here, so...
Okay, well, yes. You're a trooper staying up for me. Thank you for that. Now, mind you, strange time zones, considering what you do, is sort of pretty normal for you, right?
It is. The body clock is all over the place. That is correct, yes.
Okay. Now, look, I know it's rude to ask about religion and money. But forget the religion. I'm going to ask you about money.
Right.
A hobby, and it's a bit of a hobby, isn't it? I mean, a hobby like this doesn't come cheap. How do you fund it?
Exactly. I worked for many years in technology, and I was a consultant, and I had the good fortune of working in Europe in places like Switzerland, Germany, the UK. And I decided at the age of 30, I should have my money working for me rather than me working for my money. So I taught myself finance and investing, because I decided probably shares was the best asset for someone who wants to be on the road traveling.
Yeah.
And I worked hard and saved my dollars up and invested in a whole portfolio of shares with an emphasis on dividends. And those dividends now fund everything that I'm doing. So I finished my last job actually in August of 2013. So I haven't worked since August of 2013. I've been
living in hotels. Stop, I don't want to know anymore.
Living in hotels all the time and traveling around. And it's really given me the freedom to explore the world, the whole world. I just want to correct one thing. I haven't been to all 193 UN countries. I've been to 189 at the moment. So I've got four to visit.
I must ask you, what are those four?
They are on the agenda. Well, one of them is actually closed. It's Sudan. It's closed due to the war that's ongoing there, and probably won't reopen for quite some time, I'd say. The other three are in Africa: Liberia, the Central African Republic, and the Republic of Congo, Brazzaville. They're the three others, and they are on the agenda. They are on the agenda.
It's interesting. So, I mean, you know, you would have seen so many cultures, so many different places, countries that have gone beyond what their early expectations would have been, and others that haven't met those expectations. You haven't been to Liberia, absolutely. But, I mean, when you visit, I mean, that's a case in point of a place that started out with all the promise in the world and has turned into a bit of a mess.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was
the place for the freed slaves to come to, you know. And
Monrovia.
It became quite a mess. And the reason I haven't visited there, but I visited all the other countries in that part of Africa. I was doing a long overland trip, traveling by myself in the early 1990s. And I spent 18 months meandering through Africa from top to bottom. And at that time, Liberia had a civil war. they had a crazy guy there by the name of Charles Taylor.
So
I managed, I meandered through all of West Africa, but I had to avoid going into Liberia because of the war. So that's what's left for me to visit now in West Africa. So I will be getting back there soon.
Hopefully. Now, when you say you visited 189...
189, now, the 193.
Okay. Now, I mean, I visited Thailand because I landed at Bangkok Airport and got a transfer to Frankfurt. When you say you visited, how long do you have to stay before you can effectively say, done, tick off?
Right. I'm a slow traveler. So everywhere I visit, I spend a lot of time. And especially with the website now, I'm writing travel guides for most places that I visit. So when I visit a place, I tend to explore every corner of the destination. I'll stay for a while. For example, here in the Falklands now, I have a rental car. I'm driving around. I've been out all day photographing penguins and sea lions today. This place is full of wildlife here. Most people who visit the Falklands tend to arrive on Antarctic cruise ships, and they will spend only half a day in the main town here, Stanley, where I'm staying at the moment. So we had a cruise ship that came in today, and they come in the morning, and at 2:30 the last transfer back to the ship, and then they leave. So for me, I wouldn't come here on a cruise ship because I don't want to spend half a day in Stanley, but I do want to spend a full week driving a four-wheel drive around and fully exploring every corner of this island. So everywhere I visit, I spend the time that I need to really fully explore a destination. I wouldn't step into a country and tick it off a list and then leave again. I would never do that.
Okay. It's interesting you're in the Falklands, and I've got to say, just for people listening, I'm speaking to Darren at the moment over Zoom. I mean, you're just hearing it. I'm watching this. I mean, the Falklands are geographically in the middle of nowhere.
The bottom of the world.
But I tell you what, the internet connection's outstanding. Whatever they're doing, it's working.
Starlink.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Elon. Now, 42 years ago, I mean, it could have gone Argentinian, right? So, I mean, are you conscious of the history when you visit some of these places?
Absolutely. And my interest in every destination, I'm interested in everything. So, for example, today I've spent time at the museum learning all about the history of the island. They've got an amazing museum here with all of the war history. The British are very good with history.
Yes.
So they've got a really very comprehensive museum here. So I've been through all of that. I photographed all of that. That will be all put into my Falkland Islands guide when I publish it. So absolutely. And everywhere I visit, I'm always interested in the history, the culture, the society, the people. Actually, if you go through any of my guides on my website, they're very comprehensive. There's a lot of information in there. I'm even down to like flags. I'm a bit of a flag nerd, so I'll have a flag section in my travel guide and describe the design of a flag and what it all means. And yeah, so it's
all part of the story.
It's all part of the story, and I'm actually fascinated by everything. So and that all goes into my travel guides. I get a lot of feedback from people saying thank you so much for writing what you write. A lot of people are inspired by my guides. They then plan trips after reading my guides. So, you know, if I can inspire people, on the front page of my website, I've put there that the goal of the website is to inspire wanderlust and to pique curiosity, pique people's curiosity.
You've done
so
that.
So if I can do that, then, you know, I'm doing something.
Okay, I could ask you 1,000 things. Time won't permit. I might just ask you this one in conclusion, because you've got to go to bed. I know that. But that's concerning.
I've got penguins waiting for me.
You've got penguins waiting. I mean, come on.
Penguins. Right? Penguins are waiting for me.
Oh, well, I don't want to get in the road of those penguins and you. But at the moment, you know, we've got this climate summit on in Azerbaijan. Now, old Silk Road connections, you know, incredible history. Most people would never visit wouldn't be on the radar. You know, it's Paris, London, or Buster. Right? You've been right there. Tell me about that place.
That's amazing. And the government of Azerbaijan really has a vision. I mean, they're trying to make Baku at least the Dubai of the region. So they're doing a lot of development. They're promoting tourism. And the people of Azerbaijan are amazing. The food's amazing. The history, the culture, it's incredible. It's really at a crossroads of civilizations there. So there's just so much to see and do. Again, I traveled with a rental car and I drove all over Azerbaijan, took lots of photos. I'm a very keen photographer, so I'm always photographing and I'm just curious about everything. And the history there is amazing. The history really is amazing. So, and if anyone wants to look at my photography from Azerbaijan, you'll find that all in my travel guide.
I did say that was the last question, although a text has prompted me to ask this, because I know the answer. The answer is yes. You've been to North Korea, right?
Exactly. I spent 10 days in North Korea.
As a key photographer, how do you do that in North Korea? Because isn't there always someone checking you over your shoulder?
They are there, and they are sort of keeping an eye on you. But actually, what I would say about being in North Korea was I was amazed at the access that I had to North Koreans. For example, I was there on an important public holiday, which is the Labor Day holiday, 1st of May. And all the North Koreans in Pyongyang, they all come into a park and they have picnics and barbecues. And, the Koreans love Korean barbecue and they love karaoke. So it's really surprising to actually go, not to watch what's fed to us on the news, the nightly news, but actually go there and see. And we were just told, okay, you can walk through this park and come back to the bus in 2 hours. So there was no one with us. Just walk around, do what you want, take photos of who you want to take photos of, interact with people. And they were all drinking rice wine. It was quite funny. They were all drinking rice wine and singing karaoke. And they all wanted to dance with the tourists. It's like, come on, come and dance with us. Yeah. It was just hilarious. It was hilarious. So what you see on the nightly news versus what you experience if you actually go there, it's quite a different thing. The Germans actually set up breweries in Pyongyang. So they've got some really good craft beer in Pyongyang.
Really?
So you can go out and it's like 50 cents for a pint of beer. And the Koreans, they just party. It's quite something. But of course, there is a serious side to North Korea as well.
Yes. So, not a side you want to be on the wrong side of. Extraordinary story. Exactly. And there's still chapters to be written, I know. People can check it all out, of course, on the website. For your time, and it's very, very late in the Falkland Islands, you get back to the Penguins and send them our regards, Darren. And regards from Australia. Thank you for your time.
Nice talking to you, Mike.
All the best. Darren McLean, what a hell of a story. He's basically seen every country on the planet. He's got four to go. Four to go on the UN list. And it's all there on the website, as I said earlier, so you can check all of that out, of course. Taste to Travel. Taste to Travel.